Summer is definitely the sexiest season. I mean, think about it. The days are longer, the nights are hotter, and your sex life is too. And if you're looking to turn up the heat, how about a little help from our friends at Promescent? Summer is all about things hot and steamy, so I highly recommend you add something extra and tap into Promescent's lineup of pleasure-enhancing products. I've been singing their praises for years, since they started, and for good reason. Because first up, we have the legendary Delay Spray. This is the MVP of lasting longer and keeping those eager penile nerves in check. You just do a quick spray, and you're set to outlast even the longest days of summer, ensuring the party doesn't end before you want it to. So you can have the mind-blowing climax you're now so very well equipped to reach, thanks to Promescent. It just helps you last longer without all the worry. And for women, Promescent's warming arousal gel is a fun pre-sex ritual. You just rub it into your vulva a few minutes before and you'll feel it start to tingle, warming up every nerve ending. So you'll feel that much more pleasure everywhere before you even get going. So it's kind of like the sure thing. So make sure this summer is the sexiest one yet. Check out promescent.com/Emily and get 15% off at checkout. You get free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee, discreet shipping, all the things. Promescent is your ticket to a more guaranteed good time. That's promescent.com/Emily. promescent.com/Emily for your exclusive discount. Check it out. Attention, pleasure seekers. What if I told you there was a toy that was so iconic that it practically set the standard for all my favorite products? Allow me to introduce or reintroduce to you the Magic Wand. Dubbed the Cadillac of Vibrators, the Magic Wand is more than just a toy. It's a culture icon, a symbol of power and unapologetic pleasure. Do you know any other toys that have been praised in Time magazine? Didn't think so. With a unique rumble that resonates deep within, the Magic Wand Original is not just a product, it's a trusted confidant. And it's a sure thing. Never had an orgasm? Try a Magic Wand. Never given your party a full body massage? Try the Magic Wand. Listen, it's rightfully earned accolades like Vibrator of the Year for decades, and I've been obsessed with my Magic Wand. I even drilled holes in my bedside table so that she's always next to me in case I need her. Well, that was years ago, because now there are multiple iterations of the Magic Wand, allowing you to pick whatever model fits your lifestyle. You can go wireless with the Magic Wand Rechargeable, tiny with the Magic Wand Mini or Micro. Micro is really mini. Or go for variety with the Magic Wand Plush. The best part though, all of them have the same powerful orgasmic rumble that made the original so popular. So if you're ready to make some magic, visit sexwithemily.com/magicwand and discover why the Magic Wand continues to cast a spell on the world. Magic Wand, not just a vibrator, an icon of pleasure. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. On today's show, my guest is Caitlin Bristow, host of the Off the Vine podcast. We're talking about relationships, dating, communication, and the power of being present. Topics include why embracing your authentic self in everything you do will help build your confidence in and out of the bedroom. Learning to trust your gut, especially when it comes to experiencing true arousal and attraction. And another vote for couples therapy in any stage of a relationship and why it truly works. How scheduling downtime with your partner will enhance intimacy. And I'll share with you the best pickup line I've heard in a long time. And I don't even believe in pickup lines. All this and more. Thanks for listening.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's gotta have her standards. Oh, my.
The women know about shrinkage.
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, check out our website, sexwithemily.com, which is awesome. Thank you for subscribing and commenting on iTunes. Thank you to this week's review on iTunes from the Life Hack Podcast. Hope you receive this warm greeting from Buffalo, New York. I just got done listening to your podcast and wanted to encourage you by saying how much I appreciate your effort and attention to detail. Keep up the great work, my happy podcasting friend. So yeah, you guys, I read all your comments. I do. So we appreciate it when you subscribe and comment on iTunes. We also have a new contest. You know I love a healthy pelvic floor. It makes your orgasms more frequent, stronger, longer, and you get rid of those annoying sneeze and pee incidents. And just having a strong pelvic floor means a lot for your body overall. So this month, we're having a Kegels of Steel contest. But this contest is only for the vagina havers of the world. Sorry, penis people. We will have more contests for you. Because the prizes for this contest will help with your Kegels and give you orgasms. From now until May 5th, we want to hear the top thing you've learned from listening to Sex with Emily and how you applied it to your sex life. What has it done for you? What information have you learned? What tip, what trick, which episode? We want to hear. Email feedback at sexwithemily.com with your submission. And we're going to pick two winners to get either an Apex by Pormoi or a WeVibe Bloom. If you'd like a little inspiration for your contest submission, you can check out our sex hack videos on youtube.com/sexwithemily and also subscribe to those. We'll be doing a lot more videos. Please join me on social media because it's fun and it's a party. It's at Sex with Emily, Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, and Twitter. However you get in touch with me, I absolutely love hearing from you and read all of your comments. And finally, I hope you enjoyed today's show. I love this interview that I did with Caitlin Bristow over Skype. Let me know what you think of the show. I had so much fun on your show, and your listeners are awesome. They've been like,
they? Oh my gosh, they
yes,
love you.
Yes, they love you. And yeah. They've been like reaching out, really. I mean, it was amazing. We got like 16 emails. They'd be like, oh my God, I heard you in sex and let's talk.
Good.
And yeah, it was really fun. And I loved meeting you too. I had a blast on your show.
I know, it was such a good time.
It was. It was a really good show. It was fun. How often are you here in LA? You're mostly in Nashville, right?
I'm like always in Nashville, but like randomly come out there once in a while.
But I was wondering about that. I'm like, do you guys want to live here at some point, or do you like Nashville?
No, I think we're pretty set on Nashville. I go back and forth because I really want to move back to Canada at some point. Oh. Like, I feel like that's where I want to raise kids. So, but we're loving Nashville right now.
Okay, good. I haven't been, but that's like the place to be right now. So then
oh my
I'll
gosh,
just come visit you.
You're missing out.
I know. I can't believe I've never been. But it's been it's been on the list. I actually watched a TED Talk that you did, which I love. Like right after you were on The Bachelorette, so much has happened to you since then, and I love some of the things in there. And you said you'd rather be hated for who you are than loved for someone you're not.
Yes,
and you've lived that. Like you really do live that authentically, being you. I don't care what anyone thinks. Like here I am with makeup, without makeup. Here's what I go through.
Yeah, I try. Like, I've tried to live by that for a long time. I wish I could take credit for that quote, but it was actually Kurt Cobain, of all people.
It's okay. Yeah, it's okay. You don't have... Yeah, right. Thank you. We appreciate that. The world appreciates that you're so honest about it. I think it's just a very mature, evolved, like, you know, a very young soul thing to say, to know at that point in your life that even going on The Bachelorette where you're like, this is who I'm going to be, and that's... I am fully myself.
It took me a while to get there. Like in my younger 20s, it was exhausting. I was always just trying to like fit in. And I always wanted to be like, I'm one of the guys. And I always wanted to have like dude friends all the time. And it was just exhausting because I kept like trying to be someone that I wasn't. And then I heard that quote and I was like, I need to live by that. And it was exhausting before that. And it's just a good way to live.
It is a good way to live. So when you went on The Bachelor, you were living in Canada. And what were you doing before all of this?
So many things. So I actually was kind of like volunteering my time with my girlfriend Erin Treloar, who does the Raw Beauty Talks and has her she's the founder of Raw Beauty, and which is why I started Reelstagram. So I was trying to just work with her company before I went on the show, just because I was passionate about it and I loved what she was doing. So I was doing that with some of my time. I also was teaching spin classes. I was also working for a restaurant out in Canada called Cactus Club, where I was just helping train servers and bartenders, and I was doing some managing, and I was just kind of doing everything, doing it all.
Okay. And that same talk, you were like, oh, I was, because he said to you, the interviewer, he was like, oh, so were you on there, like, did you really think you would find love, or were you on here, like, to build your brand? And you're like, well, I came on to build a brand, but I ended up finding love, and you built a brand. So I was curious, going on there, like, did you always know that you had this talent? You're so funny, you have great timing, great comedic timing, you can talk to anybody about anything. People, like, love you. Like, wherever I'm going, they're like, oh my God, Caitlin, she was the fun one. Yes, I watched her. She was my favorite, you know? So it's like, did you know that before you went on The Bachelorette? You're like, I know I'm great, but now I'm really awesome. Or like, what was that process like?
It's so funny because I remember talking to one of my best friend's husbands, and I was like, can't I just go on TV one time and have people know who I am so I can just like build some sort of like empire and just like not work that hard for it? And he was like, you can't do that. And then I went on The Bachelor, and he was like, oh, you would. Just because, I don't know, like since I was I don't know how old, like I was a little girl, I always was such a performer and I always had a big personality, and I always knew I wanted to do something bigger than just, you know, like stay in my small town, and nothing against those people, but just, I just always thought of myself doing something big. And so when the opportunity came to me to be on the show, I was kind of like, oh, this could be my chance to either A, make a complete ass of myself, or B, build myself a pretty solid brand.
Right. And you did that.
And have
right?
a voice. Right. Yeah.
What have you learned about like dating since then? Like, what would you say about the whole romance and love process from being on the show?
Well, I found out I'm a bit of a chameleon, where I'll just like kind of adapt to whatever guy I was going on a date with. Like if they were really shy and quiet, I'd find myself being like kind of awkward. And then if they're really outgoing, I had like, it was more myself. And if they're more romantic, then I all of a sudden was a huge romantic guy. And it was just so funny to experience that, just because, I don't know, I've only had like a few serious relationships, maybe two.
Oh, okay.
Before this. So yeah, it was interesting to watch, like kind of an out-of-body experience watching myself date.
But you were happy, right? But you were like, when you watched it, it was a fair portrayal of who you are?
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, I've been on The Bachelor, I was like, wow, I'm so lucky. Like, they really showed who I was. I didn't feel like I got a weird edit. And because I've seen it where, I know, a couple of my girlfriends got like a pretty weird edit, and we're watching it being like, oh, I don't remember that. And oh my gosh, she wasn't like that at all. And it was pretty fair.
So now you're doing your podcast, Off the mm-hmm. Line, which is mm-hmm. uber successful. And you started just a few years ago, right? Like 2 years ago?
No, maybe. Not even. It hasn't not even been a year.
Dude, congratulations on all of that success. And I loved being on, and it was so fun. And I feel like we talked about the thing that we both love about podcasting is that you're so present. Like you're so in the moment. And you're having this conversation. It's like, I'm not on my phone. I'm not distracted. Mm-hmm. Like if I was distracted right now, you'd know instantly, right? So this is the one time where I can like have a real conversation. We can talk. And do you feel like it's been like that for you too? Like, do you love, what do you think about the whole podcasting world? And
yeah, that's, well, first of all, thank you for coming on my podcast, because the Off the Vine listeners loved you. And everyone says that it's the one podcast that I've put out that they've listened to more than once. And they are finding it so informative. Like their boyfriends are asking, hey, do you know any podcasts? And they're like, I immediately send them that one.
That's so nice. Well, thank you. I love to hear that. We talked, we covered a lot.
We did. It was amazing. I keep asking Sean if he's listened. He started to. I think he's going to the gym right now. I'll remind him to listen.
Tell him
to.
That was my next point. I wanted to ask you about that. But
with podcasting, I just feel like it's so... I don't know why, but from a young age, I've wanted to have my own radio show as well. Like I wanted to just be able to like sit in sweatpants and drink wine and have my own show.
Right.
And so I feel like I've just like
you're doing that. You're doing it.
Yeah.
And it's awesome.
I love it.
I know. I was like, we can drink, we can hang out. So Sean hasn't listened yet, but I don't know. Was there anything that you hope that he listens to from there?
You know what's so funny is that I did like 8 podcasts when I was in LA in 2 days, and I'm like, I know we covered pretty much everything, so I don't know if there's one thing specific I can think of that I want him to hear, but probably
you let
everything.
Me keep me posted. And you were also worried that your mom was gonna listen, but then we thought it would be a good idea. But I don't remember podcasts either. This is my next question. So you love doing podcasts. I often don't, like, I listen to our interview, I don't listen back to mine typically. So I won't listen to this one. You don't listen to yours either? I was like, I was there. Okay, good. Me neither. I don't listen to mine. But I was like, people love my Off the Vine with Caitlin. I got to listen. So I just listened to like 30 minutes of it on the way here. And I was like, I don't remember talking to her about that. I was sober. I don't remember. There's a certain like podcast amnesia when you're really present and in the moment with someone, which is why I think it's such an amazing medium. But then oftentimes you do forget. Kind of what happens.
That's like one of my biggest problems is, you know, you do so many podcasts, and I don't know how many I have out at this moment, but I'm like, how often do I repeat myself and just say the same thing or make the same dumb joke or like think I'm being really funny, but I've already dropped that line before. And I'm right. like, how many times do I do that? Because I don't remember anything.
Exactly. I know. I just blackout. Repeat myself too, but right. It is like a blackout. At least you can be like, I was drinking. Like for me, I'm like, yeah. I just don't know. I was there. I hope I gave you good advice. I swear you know, Caitlin was there. So how is everything going since then? So you went on The Bachelorette, success story. Yes. You actually found love and built a brand. And now you guys are really cute together. Like it seems like you and Sean are, you're not, you know, you're engaged, but you're like building a life together. And yeah. you're really like, how has that been going from the dating and being on TV into now building your life? Like what
yeah,
have you
it
learned
was
about
actually
relationships?
A and, pretty yeah. smooth transition, which is funny because I think a lot of people were like, you know, even Sean's dad, I can remember him saying, you know, what happens when all the romantic dates are gone and the TVs are, the cameras are gone and blah, blah. And we're like, yeah, we can't wait for that. Like we're two very like homebodies. We like to just like do very laid back things. We're laid back people. We like our weeks are like, ooh, we go walk our dog and maybe go to the driving range. And, you know, we like the normalcy of being off TV, and I think that helped build our relationship into what it is because it's very easy to say yes to everything after the show, and there's all these opportunities and money, and everything just seems so lavish after you come off the show and what people ask you to do. So I think it was really cool that we both kind of took a step back and we wanted to just be completely normal. We didn't want to go back on TV. And we wanted to just get to know each other and be normal. And I think that really helped us.
That really does help. I think that's very, again, like a very mature, good decision because people really liked you could have kept going on and doing other shows, but you guys have really been working on it. Were there any surprises though, like when you got off the show, like or any good stories about, because I can't imagine just dating someone on TV. And then you're like, okay, but wait, this didn't come up. Like you didn't tell me that you, whatever, like playing darts loudly until 5 a.m. I don't even know where that came from. Darts, my friend's in a dart league.
So
my friend's in a dart league right now. And I didn't even know they had those. But really, like, was there anything you're like, whoa. Or, you know, that you, like the moments where you're like, you did not say that.
I always try and think because that is a question that people always want to know. Like what surprised you after the show of, you know, you barely know the person. And I always say like, to me, I think I expected Sean to be this like, I'm like, he's too good looking. He's like living in Nashville. He's got all these friends he goes out with. I'm like, there's no way he's not like this playboy. And I kind of was like waiting for him to be, you know, because he just seemed too good to me. And I think the biggest surprise was that he was actually just such a normal guy, just such a good human, and just wasn't shady at all. And I kind of expected him to be.
That's so good. Right. Thank God he's not shady. What about he seems like such a great guy, like both of you. Like, was there that love at first sight thing or was it the slow build? Did you think you'd end up with him?
No, it definitely was not a slow build. In fact, I kind of wish it would have been because it would have made my life easier because I was too obvious. So right from the get-go, I mean, he walked out of the limo and I never knew I had a type. And then I met him and I was like, oh, I have a type. He's totally my type. And it was pretty instantaneous. Like I remember like holding his hand in that moment being like, whoa. And it was just like the way he presented himself, the way he spoke, the way he thanked the limo driver when he got out. Like you could just tell he was a gentleman,
right.
And the way he smelled, like everything. I was like, oh, this is like, I'm immediately attracted to him. And I even said like, I've never felt love at first sight until that moment. And I just was like hoping the whole time that it would stay that way. And I made the mistake of telling producers, you know, like, oh my gosh, game over. He's the one. Because then they need to make a TV
show.
They
do, right.
They make it hard.
I was, they do, right? They're mm-hmm. the worst. I was on a reality show like Bravo like 5 years ago. I did a season of the show called Misadvised, and they were like so mean. Like to me, I had no idea. I was so naive. I didn't know I would tell them the truth about something, and they'd be like, you want to be the sex expert that doesn't have sex? You must sleep with this guy right now, Emily. I'm like, I don't. I'm not. You're not going to force me to sleep with them. Speaking of sleeping with, though, when I was now, I'm like, now I really don't care because what I love also about you, one of your interviews was said that you actually slept with two people, right, when you were on Was it when you were on the on your Bachelorette, right?
Yes, but also it's a very edited.
I get that. But here's the point. Even if you didn't, what I love, this is what I love, right, is what they said, why? You're like, I felt like it. You're like, if it was a guy who slept with three girls, they wouldn't have been like, why did you do it? You know? And yes, I know you felt bad and there was like emotions around it, but you're like, I felt like it. Like, you're so yourself. And that's why women, you know, if you feel like it sometimes in your heart, why not? Like, you're like, cut.
I never understand that. I'm like, yeah, okay. Like, I mean, it's 2000, whatever year it was at the time. I'm like, it's 2016. Right. Like, come on, people.
Right. Exactly. That was brave, I thought.
Yeah, because I'm like, not, I, well, you would know if I, like, I just can't, I can't lie either. Right. I'm a terrible liar, so.
You know, you said you've been in a few relationships. Obviously, this is your most serious. Mm-hmm. What have you learned about relationships and being together?
You know what I will say, and we're very honest and open about this, is that it's the first relationship that I've been in that we go to counseling. And I think that has been one of the most important things we've done, just because we came out of like such a weird world that nobody can really relate to. And it's really challenging. And things were really hard. And so we decided, well, first of all, we thought the show should provide therapy for
absolutely
any couple that comes out of
it. Like a year's worth of, you guys win. Right. No, that's so healthy, Caitlin. I'm so glad that you're sharing that, because I think every couple needs it. And especially, I'm sure, off a television show. God, good for you.
Yeah, it's one of the best things that we've done. And we learn so much about, like, how we communicate and, you know, what presses our buttons and where our insecurities stem from and how we can speak to each other out of, like, fear, but also compassion, instead of being accusatory or instead of being attacking, or just like, we've just tried to really learn how to speak to each other, and it's made such a difference in our relationship.
How to communicate. Yeah, because we're not taught how to communicate when we're kids. Like, no one tells us. That's really healthy. No. I'm so, like, that warms my heart. Are you guys still going? Do you still go once a week?
Sometimes we just go, like, sometimes it'll be once a month. Sometimes we go once a week. I try and go by myself also, like, every few weeks. I just find it, like, well, I mean, I was going to say therapeutic, but it's therapy.
It's the best. Do you talk about it on your podcast as well?
Yeah, I don't like go into it, but I
know, but that you go, like, to therapy. I just think it's because you're such a good role model. I'm sure you have, you know, you have so many listeners and so many, like, girls, I think, who look up to you. And I just feel like I'm always
should be ashamed of that.
I know, we all need it at different points in our life, sometimes more than others. So I think that's really healthy. Speaking of being a role model, the role model that you are, is that with the Me Too movement and the Bachelorette, you were saying, well, I'm not even sure, like, is it kind of antiquated right now? Like, would you want what do you think?
I don't, I always go back and forth, just because, I mean, people also ask me, like, you know, oh, how did you feel about two Bachelorettes on your season and the men had to decide? I'm like, well, I mean, I didn't like it and I think it's wrong, but I also came off The Bachelor, where 25 women are being pit against each other for one man. Like, where do you draw the line on what's weird? And
Like,
it's just, you know, like, everybody's getting more comfortable with the format of the show. And at the beginning, like, I'm sure people were just, I mean, beside themselves that one guy was going to date all these girls. But now people are like, it's so normal to watch that show. And I don't know, I just go back and forth, just because it is such an entertaining show. And it's, you know, how I got to be where I am for the most part. And so, I don't know. It's just, I don't even know.
I know, like, if people ask you for advice and stuff, like, people still think like it's this fairy tale, but you're so honest about it. So you just happen to be the one that worked, and you're working on your relationship, which I love. So, and also talk to me about, I know you mentioned also that you were, that you don't take birth control because hormones, like, the hormones make you go crazy, which I think, again, that's another such an important topic, because so many women, I just went on them. My doctor was like, you're having sex, go on the pill, when I was like 18, 19.
Yeah.
And no one tells you all the side effects. Like, what happened? How did you know? And, like,
okay, so that was the same for me, because nobody, it was just like, oh, you start having sex, like, you go on birth control pills, and that's just like, nobody really knows any better. It's just like, that's the right thing to do. And yeah, I was never told about side effects or what hormones can actually do to your body or your mind. Like, I was just so clueless. So I actually, I don't even know why I went off of them. I think I was like, serving at the time and so poor. And I'm like, I'm not going to spend money on birth control anymore.
Right,
like,
right. I've totally made those decisions. Exactly.
And then I went back on like a couple of years later and I realized that I was like, oh my gosh, my moods are so different. And one of my girlfriend's dad was a doctor, a gynecologist, and like I started being a little more knowledgeable on the hormones and what it can do. And I just didn't feel comfortable putting that in me. Right.
We are going to take a quick break, give a shout out to our sponsors. Thanks for supporting them. We'll be right back. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's the kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co.
Funny story and side note is I just talked to a hormone specialist like a few weeks ago and I was like, you know, I'm getting this like weird line under my eye and somebody has told me it's hormones and my hair is thinning and I want it to be thicker again. And I'm like, I cry over like a peanut butter commercial, like right. Something's wrong with me. And so this specialist put me on some really heavy duty hormone meds. Oh. And I don't know why I wasn't thinking about what that could do to me, but I mean, 3 weeks into it, which happened to be like 5 days ago, I was a mess.
Wow.
And I was so depressed and I was crying at anything. Everything. I was just I had mood swings. I was overreacting to everything. I was feeling so depressed. I like didn't want to get out of bed. I was feeling dizzy and I was like, what's wrong with me? And then I'm like, oh my gosh.
Oh yeah. The hormones again. Medication. It's true. Was it for your skin or something? Is that why that you said you had like a line or they just, cause I know a lot of women I know take it.
I was just being crazy.
Right. No, I get it. And I love that this means that you're someone who's very in touch with yourself, in touch with your moods. Like I was 20 in college, 21, and I was like, oh, I guess I'm just crazy now, you know, and then I was on it for 10 years and didn't know that's what made me crazy. Yeah. So you were on natural birth control or you were just pull out method? Were you doing anything else?
I've done a little of both, but we try and do protected in some way. But you know what? I will not be upset if I get pregnant.
Right.
So we're not. We both really want kids, and we're like, hey, if it happens, like I'll be pretty excited, actually.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure it's like time or like if you're ready. Yeah. Well, I'm sorry. I'm not going to be that person who's like, when you're getting married and when you're having kids, because I'm sure everybody asks you that. I think you guys are awesome and you seem super happy and I love watching you. I also want to ask you about freezing your eggs.
Oh, you froze your eggs. Oh, my gosh.
Tell me.
The best decision of my life.
Okay. Tell. Everyone. So, I mean, I think if you could do it, it's for a lot of women, it takes a lot of the pressure and the stress off.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many, like, so Whitney, who was on The Bachelor with me, she ended up getting engaged to the guy who was The Bachelor, but they obviously are not together anymore, and she's married to the best man ever now. So she's a fertility nurse, and so she, that's what she does, is she helps women freeze their eggs and works at this clinic called OVA, which is where I went through to get it done. And basically, like, you know, your body as a woman is meant to have babies at like 19. Like, right. That's when you are the most fertile. That's when your eggs are the youngest. And like, that's just, you know, back in the day, people used to have babies at that age.
Right.
And now, you know, there are women out there who want to travel more. They want to get to know themselves more. They want to, they're career women and they're driven and they're not ready to have kids yet. And so it's just incredible that there's this option. But so basically I was like, I don't know. At that time when I did it, I think it was 2 years ago now. I wasn't sure when we were going to try, or even if, you know, I didn't know if I could get pregnant. I, you know, never experienced right. that. So basically it's just like, I mean, Whitney calls it the best backup plan, and it's just like insurance for like a lifetime. And
yeah.
there's obviously no guarantees, but you go in and it's quite a process. And
it is, but weren't there hormones involved with that? Do you think?
Like,
did you like cry? I mean, I can only imagine they're pumping you stuff, but I'm sure they removed lots of healthy eggs.
It was intense, very intense, and a lot of ups and downs. And I had to be in Chicago, but I mean, bigger picture, it was really a short amount of time, and you have to give yourself needles in the stomach. And at first I was like, no chance, there's no way I'm going to be able to do it. And Sean would do it for me. But then after a while it was like drinking water. Like, you just did it and you just get through the hormones. It's not that long. The procedure is so quick. I was like in and out in 15 minutes.
Really? But the prep time is a while. I mean, like how long
the prep time is a while.
That, right. But now, you know, you have them, but I'm, you have them if you need them.
Yes.
And you can sell them. I don't know.
You can. I mean, you can donate them to research. You could.
Totally.
I always think, like, one of my best friends from Vancouver is gay. And if he ever, like, you know, if I had kids and I still had my eggs and he wanted to have kids, like, I would definitely think about doing that for him. And there's just.
It's like one less thing to worry about. Like when you do take preventative things, you're like, I don't have to worry about that for another year. But these are your eggs having babies. Like, you are safe. And you went through all of that. What I love is that you also, you are, like I said, we opened up with a Kurt Cobain comment that you did not steal, that you did a tribute to him, but that you are truly continue to be authentically yourself, and that you decided, I think you said it was after Me Too, but you've always been this way, posting pictures that are very like, I have no makeup on, or here's my cellulite, or without, you know, you said the first night when you guys got together with Sean, you were like, oh yeah. Sometimes I wear a retainer and I'm taking out my extensions. And so you're very confident. Obviously we all have insecurities, but what has that experience been like, being like, I'm being totally myself, not only on TV, but now on my Instagram, which in a way is even more a bigger risk than being on TV, where it's sort of out there and you can't control it. Like, Instagram is so now, so present, you get immediate feedback. What have you learned about yourself through that?
I find it so liberating,
right?
Just because I'm like, I'm sick of scrolling Instagram and seeing perfection at all times. Like, I'm sick of turning on the, like, I used to like watching the Victoria's Secret fashion show, and now I'm like, boring. Like, show us some real, like, you know, like, I'm nothing against their bodies because they're beautiful, but I'm like, show us all different kinds of bodies, you know,
right.
Like, it's always the same thing every time. And I want people to scroll and be like, oh, that was a breath of fresh air. Like, but still, like, mix in some, you know, like, I'm obviously going to still put filters on things, and I still like having pretty photos, but just like a little refresh of like, oh yeah, okay, real life. Instagram isn't real life all the time. It's just the highlight reel. And it's just the best feeling, because it's the same thing as that quote from Kurt Cobain. Like, it's just, it's exhausting to just try and be someone that you're not at all times, just to impress a buttload of people on the internet. Like, it's just not healthy.
No, you're right. It's really smart. I mean, I think that's very real. And you have so many listeners that are so like loyal to you. Do they ask you questions about it, or have they been inspired by you? Like, what do you hear from your listeners a lot? Like, I know that they're rabid fans.
Yeah, I just sometimes, again, you'll believe this because I always talk about how much I cry, but I'll just like read emails or direct messages of how it's helped people be, like my podcast or my Instagram has helped girls just be more of themselves and be confident with who they are. If they're, you know, if they're a little more outgoing and crazy, they own it. If they're a little more shy, that's just who they are and their body types. And it's just like that. It's the majority of the reason why I love what I do is just because of the response I get from so many women.
Right? That's the most rewarding.
Yeah, it really is. And it's just like, again, like I think I was starting to get affected myself from Instagram and seeing all the perfection that I had to kind of give my head a shake and be like, wait, what? This is like, this is exactly what I want to preach, that it's not real. And why am I letting it affect me? And then that's what really inspired me to start being raw and real with everybody. Just continue that from the show to Instagram to my online presence, just being, you know, true to who I am and inspiring others, because the stories that I hear from people just, it's life-changing.
What kind of stories? Like bullying or people who don't feel great about themselves? Like what really sticks out? Like probably today you got one. So what's like something that recently really kind of stuck out?
I should have taken a screenshot because I did read one today where I was like, wow. Both. People that have dealt with bullying their whole life, or just girls who have been uncomfortable in their body type because of what they see on the internet at all times, and just being more confident with who they are, and just so many. I wish I took a screenshot because it was this one girl. I think she was like 18 years old, and she was just telling me that she actually found this guy and who treats her like gold, and she'd only had one other relationship in her life, but he was terrible to her, and she found this guy because she's actually just being comfortable and who she is, that this guy, she's like, I know he loves me for me because I'm being completely myself, and it's so comforting to know that, and he embraces things about me, and I've attracted the right people in my life because of listening to your podcast.
Oh, that's so good. That's what I think. Yeah, I think it's such a good message. Even, yeah, like I look at all the, you know, people who grew up thinking that they have to be perfect and they have to be everything, and that it just, that they won't be loved.
Well,
they don't love themselves.
I grew up thinking that. You know, I grew up in a dance studio. Oh, and dance. You know, I can remember just standing in a mirror and like, I don't think I had an ounce of body fat on me, and I would pinch my stomach, or I would look at the girls in the dance studio in the mirror and like compare myself to them. Like I always had the pretty girl roles in life too, you know, like a bartender. I was the golf cart, like beer cart girl. Like I'm doing all these things that have kind of proven true, like, hey, look, yeah, those are the things you're successful at because of your looks. And so I've really put a lot of effort into changing that.
Do you think was it before The Bachelor and being on The Bachelor, or was it through this process?
Yeah,
of just going, because like a lot of people don't ever get there, right? Like, so I love that you had that moment of just, or this transition.
Yeah, I think it was definitely before, just because I was working with my girlfriend, Erin Treloar, who she's the founder of rawbeautytalks.com, where she struggled her growing up as well, but her case was a little more extreme. Like I would just, you know, like I'd kind of like pinch my stomach and move on. But she is very open and honest about having eating disorders and struggling growing up. And she said, you know, looking at magazines, because we didn't have social media back in our day, but like we had magazines still, and the magazine covers are look great naked and how to get this body. And it was still all the same, just on magazines. And she always said, if I had someone to look up to in media that had a different perspective on body image and who had a healthy mind and all these things, like that probably could have helped me a lot. And so that's what her motive kind of is
great.
With raw beauty.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so then I always wanted to be involved with that even before the show. So when I got off the show and I had this platform, I was like, oh my gosh, we can like really change some people's lives with this movement.
Yeah, it is so true. Now I'm remembering, like, when my nieces were born, who's the oldest one is 18 now, my sister-in-law was like, we're not having any magazines in the house. I have three nieces, 18, 15, yeah. 10. She's like, no magazines in the house. I'm like, okay. Well, they'll probably still see them eventually at the grocery store. Now cut to, like, you know, they've both been on Instagram since they were, like, 8 to 10. But you're right. It was only the magazines, and now it's everywhere. We talked a little about this on your show because I did listen to it again. What about sex? Like, do you get other sex questions from your listeners, or were you taught, first of all, starting with you, were you taught anything about sex growing up?
Yeah, I was, I mean, probably not as much as people should know, but definitely my parents were not shy about talking about it with me. I was not shy about talking. I'm still not shy talking about it with my mom. There's just, I mean, there's a line, but
right.
I do think it was talked about in our household as a healthy thing.
Right. That's good. That's healthy. That's good.
But I don't really
and you're
think
Canadian. Like, Canadians are just nice.
What?
I feel like in Canada,
oh, yeah,
you guys just do things better, right? Healthier. I grew up in Michigan, so I was like, we would always go to over to Canada. Like, they're so nice, Canadian
people. They really are.
And then did your listeners, have you been, do they ask you questions about this? Like about sex and, like, I guess now after our podcast, you can send
them. They do now. They do now. And I think it's great. Yeah. I'm like, I just direct them to you.
Right. Please do. Well, we're going to have to do this again when you're in LA, or I'll have to meet you.
Absolutely.
I'll come on your show again. I love it. So, hey, do you want to answer some questions for me? I have an email question for my listeners. And
sure.
Someone just actually asked me a question who heard me on your podcast. So I'm going to start with this question.
Nice.
Yeah. I'd love to get your help answering it. Hi, Dr. Emily. I just listened to you on Caitlin Bristow's Off the Vine podcast, and I love the conversation. I've been with my boyfriend for 6 months now. I would normally consider this the honeymoon phase, but I feel like our sex is already lacking. He lives an hour away, but stays over at least once during the week and once on the weekend. We have sex every 2 weeks, and I'd like it to be more frequent. When I first brought this up, he said he would try to initiate more, and he's just tired. Not much has changed since that conversation. When we are intimate, I feel like he rushes through it and doesn't really spend time considering my wants and needs. After listening to your episode, I've found the confidence to communicate this, but I'm struggling with how to effectively communicate what I want. What's the best time to bring something up like this? So she doesn't say her age. Most people we have, I think she's a new listener, so most people you guys know, We need your age and your location helps us. But 6 months, the sex is already lacking after 6 months. And she's done.
Yeah. That's not a good sign, because I feel like the first year you should be like going to town all the time.
Yeah. I got to be honest with you. I say that too. Like if the sex is the problem in the beginning, that's not a good sign for it. Yeah.
And well, is there other problems too? Like, I want to know, like, is it just with sex with her? Is that the only problem, or do they have like communication issues in other areas?
Right. That's such a good question. Probably.
Like,
well, no, we can't ask her. This is why I wish she could call in. I do call shows sometimes. He lives an hour away. He stays over once the week and once on the weekend. I'm thinking they're probably not in the same place, and she wants to know the best way to bring it up. How do you guys bring, for example, so the best time to bring it up, I think, is when they're in person or if they're FaceTiming because they're long distance. Don't bring it up in the bedroom.
Oh, yeah.
I always say,
do not
talk about sex in the bedroom. Don't text him. But what about when you're having, like, when you and Sean are having an important conversation, not even about sex, but where do you, like, do you think about it ahead of time? Do you prepare what you're going to say? Is just in the moment? Like, what have you learned in therapy about communicating? What can we teach her here? Jennifer.
I'm trying to think of, like, something that we do.
Are you talking about sex again?
Oh, Sean just walked
Hi,
in.
Hi, Sean.
Like, are you talking
Did
about
he
sex
listen
again?
To the podcast? Tell him he can call. Yes.
Wait, what was the question?
I know. She had a lot of questions. Oh, good. Oh, the question about how you guys, what have you guys learned? What has been the most effective tool that you guys have learned in therapy about communicating about anything? If he'd like to talk about your sex life, he's welcome to, but no pressure.
I think it's just being honest. If you're feeling something in the moment, like okay, I mean there could be so many different scenarios here, so I'm trying to think of one. Like well, for her sake, this girl's asking about how she can bring it up with her boyfriend about sex.
They're not having it enough. Oh, he rushes it. Okay, he's rushing through it and doesn't spend time on her needs and her wants.
He's rushing
no
through
foreplay.
It and he doesn't spend time on her needs, and they only see each other. He spends the night like once a week and once on the weekend, and she wants to like communicate to him like what's going on, but she doesn't know a good time to bring it up. Like, obviously not.
It just means they're just like hooking up. They're not dating.
Yeah, are they dating?
Well,
or are they
dating.
Just hooking
it's
up?
Her boyfriend
no, they're dating. They've been together
for 6 months,
but
it's kind of long distance.
She's not getting what she
long
wants.
Distance, and he like isn't like super into it, and he says he's tired, and it's only been 6 months.
And it's long distance.
Yeah.
Well. Yeah.
Oh, Sean thinks she should just get out. She shouldn't even ask questions.
Okay. Yeah. Well, but I think that's all, that's kind of the consensus here. Jennifer, I agree. I mean, the thing is, if the sex isn't great at the beginning, it should still be the honeymoon phase at 6 months. And in the past, when I've had a lot of problems the first 6 months, not even with sex, but with anything, like if you're fighting more or you're having more discontent in six months, that's not a good sign for the relationship. So, and also when couples are together a really long time, the first thing, and their sex isn't going well, which we talked about on your show, can happen in most relationships. Your sex life is going to ebb and flow. But if you didn't have it at the beginning, there's nothing to go back to. You can't be like, remember, it was so great the first 6 months, because it never was. So,
exactly. And I would be like, but I mean, there's only one question, and I would just ask why. Like, why are you not into this?
Right. Yeah. No, that's good. I mean, I think that Jennifer, I know we're being harsh because she's probably like, but I love him and he's the one, and we're like, dump him. So I think, Jennifer, I think that you say, maybe he's never had anyone talk to him about sex before. You can let him know. I think do a FaceTime call if it's long distance. And you said that you tried to talk to him once. Here's the thing about the sex talk, I say, is that you have to have it a few times. Like, just because you tell your partner something once, even if it's sex or something, just a change in their behavior or something that you'd like from them, you need to say it a few times. It's not just you have a conversation once and it's done. So,
don't be accusatory. It'd be like, I just enjoy it so much. I would just like to know, blah, blah, blah. Like, don't be like, oh gosh, why are you not doing this? Because then he'll back off even more. And maybe he just doesn't feel confident enough.
Right. That is such a good point. That is exactly. It's always about, you never want to be like, why don't you ever, blah, 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 because then they shut down and they're feeling blamed. So to say like, I love the sex we're having. I miss you so much when we're not together. When you got here, I'd love to be having amazing sex and make out a lot. That's really hot when we do that. When you rush right through and don't turn me on, that doesn't feel as good. Yeah. I think we helped her with that one. Thank you. Jenny, 25, New York. Hi, Emily. I love your show, and it's inspired me to embrace my single status. However, I'd love advice on meeting new people. I'm a young, attractive female, and I like to go out and try new things and places. I feel like I don't get approached very often when I'm out. I think I'm friendly when meeting other people, but I also struggle with going up to cute guys and approaching them myself. Do you have any tips for flirting with strangers? Caitlin, you got to be good at this. Not only because the Bachelor, Bachelorette, but like you said, you were a waitress. You did all these things. Go for it.
Yeah, I'm a good flirt. But what I was thinking was her name has New York in it, and that might be part of her problem because it is impossible to meet guys there. And I feel like guys just don't give anyone the time of day in New York, or they're just like, I don't know. I've heard that from Andy Dorfman, that she says that it's tough to date in New York. So maybe that's part of her problem.
Okay. But
here's my advice.
You meet guys in New York, though. See, you've never not met a guy wherever you go. I'm just going to say that. I don't believe in limitations in cities. But I know New York is challenging. Every big city is challenging. But how do you just, and I think this is just innate to who you are, but how do you, just kind of.
Well, she sounds like she's confident because she said, I'm young and I'm good looking. And I'm like, oh, yes, get it. This is my line. If I was single, and which I have been, and this is what I did, I go right up to a guy and I just say, good, and you? And then he's like, what? And you're like, good, and you?
That's a good one. That's so good. So. They're like, wait, what? They're like, I know you wanted to ask me how I am. Right.
Yeah. Exactly.
Oh my God, dude. I don't even know that I believe in pickup lines, but that's amazing. Like
that's
literally. Yeah. I love it. And also again, just being yourself. Like I feel like what I used to think about is if you're nervous around guys, cause I hear this from men too. They're like, I'm great with everybody. But when there's a hot girl or women say, I see this guy and I shut down. Think about who you are when you're with your best friends. When you are with your family, that comfortable you, I think we think that we can't be that person in public. And like what you're saying, Caitlin, through all the work you're doing, your podcast, your presence is like, be yourself wherever you are. Like just don't, so you don't have to like put up with lies. You don't have to try to remember who you need to be in certain situations. Just bring yourself into every room you walk into.
You will attract the right people, whether it's like a job, a career, a friendship, a relationship, you will just attract the right people into your life if you are just comfortable with being yourself.
Right. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That's such good advice. And I think that the practice for this, for everyone listening, I think is now that you've heard this, the next time everyone's with you're with your friends or you're hanging out, think about how you feel in your body, like that comfort. Like I know when I'm with my friends, I'm just like laughing my ass off a lot. I'm just, my feet are kicked back. I don't ever think about second guess what I'm going to say. I just talk and they're my best friends for life. And that's just, think about where you're at, that presence, and then bring that into when you're out walking the streets of New York, Jenny, and you'll be able to channel that. Yes, Caitlin, thank you so much. This has been a blast.
Thank you. Oh my gosh, I don't know if you just heard that, but I just I was building a bed before you called, and I just like knocked over a bunch of poles and it made noises. So I apologize for that. Sorry, audio.
No, it's all good. I love that you guys are building things together. The couple that builds together stays together.
Oh no, I'm doing this all on my own.
You are. Dude, you're so badass. I love it. Well, have a glass of wine for me and build a good bed. And you're awesome. Caitlin Bristow, Off the Vine. What is there anything coming up that we need to know? Podcast, things you're excited about in life?
Yes. Oh my gosh. There's
Tell
so
me
many
everything.
Things.
Tell me everything.
I don't know when yet, but I did put a little teaser out there on my Instagram story the other day of a song that I wrote and recorded. And I'm going to be hopefully doing a lot more of that and putting some stuff out there. So just stay tuned on my Instagram for that.
I love that you're doing this. I know that you started out singing. You've always been singing, right? And dancing. But I love you wrote a song. I didn't see this. Okay.
I've wrote a few. Yeah. So I think some stuff will be coming out shortly.
Okay, good. So it's all at CaitlinBristow.com. KAITLYN. Bristow. BRISTOWE. This is all going to be in the show notes. And thank you, Caitlin, so much. Say hi to Sean.
Thank you.
Have a lovely night. And I hope to see you soon in Los Angeles or maybe in Nashville.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. Have a great night. Bye,
okay,
sweetie.
Bye.
Thanks. Okay, guys. Thanks for listening to the show. And thanks to my amazing team, Ken, Jamie, Jenny, our volunteers, Sarah and Shannon, producer Lark and Michael. And just thanks for being a part of the Sex with Emily family, finding us on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, Spotify, iHeartRadio, everywhere you listen to podcasts. And for subscribing to iTunes and reviewing it, you're all awesome. Was it good for you? Text Ask Emily to 797979.